Well, hello, everyone. Hi there. Good morning. Welcome. Welcome if you're joining us online, and welcome if you're here in the room with us. We're so glad that you've come today. My name is Hannah. I'm part of our Worship Arts staff team, and I'm up here with a band of awesome volunteers, and we are glad to be gathered here today with all of you so that we can connect to our God, connect to one another in community as the family of God. So let's get started with singing some songs. Why don't you go ahead and stand if you're able and join us. Here we go.
I count on one thing. The same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out, working all.
Hallelujah belongs to you. give you praise. It's our right to clap right there. What a good God, what a good God you are. Father God, bless us. We invite you here today, Lord God. We pray, Lord, that you would just come and sup with us and feel welcome here with us. Father God, we thank you for being such a way maker, for being a keeper, for being our good, good Father, Lord God. And we just pray, Lord, that a word will be spoken today that will touch and reach and minister to the hearts and the minds of those gather here today, Lord, and those watching, that you will bless them in a special way. We thank you that you know the number of hairs on our head, oh God, and that there is no failure in you. There's nothing that is impossible for you, and we magnify you for that today. And so we give you praise right now for all things. Be with us, keep us, and bless us as only you can. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, worship team. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. It's so good to be with you all this morning. My name's Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. Why don't you go ahead and grab a seat if you're here in the room? Man, what a beautiful morning so far. These are the kinds of days, right, that we like dream about in some of those cold winter months. And so it's so good to be together today. If you are new to Black Hawk Church, first of all, just thank you so much for coming and joining us this morning. We would love it if on your way out, right as you go out these doors, there's a next steps area. We'd love it if you just say hello for just a moment. We have a small gift for you just to say thank you for joining us this morning. And we'd love to tell you more about how our church works and how you can get connected and involved, because we believe that every single person, no matter where you're at on your faith journey, has next steps that they can take with God. So we'd love to help you with that as you figure out what that looks like for you. A couple things going on right now around Black Hawk Church and specifically around Brader Way. Well, one of the things that happens every single week, that every so often I keep hearing people that don't know about it yet, so I want to make sure the word continues to get out, is that we have a 4:30 evening service here at Brader Way that happens on the other side of the hall on the west side. It's live preaching, so whatever happens in the morning, you're going to hear that same preacher there in person. There's acoustic worship, and it's a great, just kind of more laid-back community, great to get to know a smaller group of people, and it's kid-friendly. You can have your kids right there with you in the service. So join us for that, especially as we're headed into the 4th of July weekend and maybe traveling, and if you're back Sunday evening, we'd love to have you join us for that. A couple other things. Coming up tonight, this evening, we have community picnics happening around the Madison area. So those are happening in Wanakee, Mount Horeb, Middleton, and then the west side of Madison. So most of those are happening at 5 o'clock. It's just a potluck where you can come and meet other people that maybe live in the same area. The west side of Madison one is happening at 4 o'clock. So we have been doing these for a little while. Wanakee in particular has done these for a number of years. And so we thought, let's just try to do a bunch of them where you can get to know neighbors, maybe people that you didn't even know were Blackhawk attenders that live right down the road, and then you're going to be there at a picnic with them. So you can go to blackhawk.church/summer. That's where you need to go. Scroll down about halfway, and that'll take you to the form where you can sign up for which picnic you want to go to, what you want to bring, and has more information about each of them specifically. So join us for those this evening. We're really looking forward to those. And then just in general here, over the summer at Black Hawk Church, there's all sorts of things that you can get connected to. Community groups, there's events for families and kids, movie nights. You're going to hear more about that a little bit later. So all of that was on that summer page where you can explore ways to get involved here around Black Hawk Church this summer. One more thing that's happening right now is that the deadline for internships is coming up on July 15th. Internships here at Black Hawk, the intro internships are a semester long and they're part-time, and it's a great way just to explore, like, what is the inner workings of a local church look like? You're going to get to see some of those things, participate in a lot of the different meetings and sort of things that we have, and learn more about your gifting and your passions and all of that. I actually started as an intern here almost 20 years ago. Wow, I feel old just saying that, 20 years ago. And it was an awesome opportunity to see like how things work around Black Hawk Church. Also to learn more about like what do I feel like I'm good at? What am I passionate about? And I've done a couple other internships at churches since then. And every single time you learn things, you grow. And for me, it just reaffirmed every single time that my life and my work is absolutely worthy. The local church is absolutely worthy of my life and my work. So if you're even wondering if ministry as a vocation could be something in your future, check out an internship. All right, with that, I'm going to hand it off to our senior pastor, Matt Metzger, who's going to share a little bit with our church family before we get to today's message.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to Black Hawk Church, everybody who's here in the room. Welcome to everyone who is joining us online at all of our sites and venues. My name is Matt. I'm the senior pastor at Black Hawk. And hey, I wanted to say again, just to everybody, thanks so much for the way that you have, for so many of you, you've been encouraging me and my family. We just got back this past week from being down in South Florida for me to perform my mom's memorial service and to be a part of everything that happened that way. I've got a picture of, this is our family as we were down there together. And the time together was rich and just good for all of us to be able to be together. And, you know, we know that my mom is with Jesus. And she was, just a deep Christ follower who loved Jesus like crazy. She's experiencing more joy now than we can understand or imagine, and yet grief is really hard, and it's wonderful to be able to do that with family. So to all of you who have reached out, who have sent notes and cards and emails and all of those things, we just really appreciate it. Thanks for the way that you've encouraged us. Hey, the other thing I wanted you to know, can you believe that the month of June is almost over? I had conversations with people here at Brader Way, it's just hard to believe that, like, June is almost over. Some of you don't realize this, but for our church, our calendar year, our finances run every year from the beginning of July through the end of June. And so we're coming up to the end of our fiscal year. And we try to be transparent around here with how we're doing financially and how things are going. And right now, what it's looking like as far as numbers being projected, things are still coming in, is that we're probably going to be somewhere between $400,000 and $500,000 behind budget. Now, to let you know, we always spend, even though money is budgeted, we always spend off of what has come in. So we're not that far in the hole right now. We're actually in an okay place financially. But just wanted to let you know, based upon the budget that we as members of the church, we vote on, that we're about that far behind. Now, at the same time, with the amount of money that has come in for Project Tech, we're actually in a very good place financially. But we wanted to mention this to you as our church home, just to let you know that if you're not in the game financially, you call Black Hawk Church your home, and that's a step that you would like to take, man, it would help us to be able to finish out the year well and really to get started into next year just in a really significant way. And so I wanted to mention that to you. If you call Black Hawk Church your home and you're not in the game financially, just to consider taking a step to be a part of that. And there's steps that you can take online. There are people at our Next Steps place at all sites and venues that could help you with that process. And, you know, I always feel, let me just say, I can feel awkward being up here as the senior pastor because of the stereotypes of churches that are always asking for money. But in all honesty, I believe, as the senior pastor, I believe so deeply in what it is that God has called us to as a church, for all of our sites, all of our venues, for the people who are watching online, that I can stand up here unapologetically and ask you to get in the game with us. For those of you, I know that for many of you, you give and you give sacrificially, and thank you so much for being a part of that. But there is something powerful that happens for all of us when we become people who are generous. There is something that God does through a church when all of us lock arms running after the heart of God, giving generously in the way we serve, in the way that we give financially, in the way that He uses us in the community. But on top of that, I know that for me, and I've had countless conversations with people about this, there's something that happens to your heart when you begin to be a person who gives generously. Instead of your money owning you, you are the one who gets to be the facilitator and the one who gives in generous ways to other things. because where our treasure lies, there our heart is also. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've never done that, maybe to take a look at being a part of what God continues to do in our church. And as we get ready to start into another year, I want to take just a minute to be able to pray for us. So would you pray with me right now? Lord God, thank you so much for the way that you continue to use our church. I mean, when I just look back over all of the years that from me and my family that we've been a part of this church and the way that it has affected us in our walks with you, like, I'm just so grateful. And God, as we look to another year now that we get ready to step into, I pray, Father, that you would continue to be the one to lead us and to guide us as a community together, but individually as well. Would you help us to be people who take steps to become more like you in the way that we serve, in the way that we live, in the way that we give generously? So we just place another year into your hands. We ask you to be the one to lead us and guide us in everything it is that you have in store for us. And now, God, as we just continue in this service, we take time right now to be able to open the scriptures, to see what you have to say to us. I pray that you would speak deeply to our hearts. Like, would you help us to understand more of it is of who you've called us to be, that we all, regardless of where we're at watching this service right now, that we would come away from it looking a little bit more like you. And so we give you this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we now get a chance to be able to hear from our associate pastor of spiritual formation, Ms. Lynn Beanick.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to Black Hawk Church. If I haven't had the chance to meet you before, my name is Lynn, and I get to work with our community groups and our marriage ministry around here, and it is just so good to gather. So welcome to everyone here in the room with me, to those of you watching online, and also to people just coming in from other venues, Black Hawk Downtown, Black Hawk Fitchburg, Traditions, and Gospel Fusion. It is so good for us to all come together today. Well, we have been talking about summertime already in the service today because it is summertime, which means I bet many of us are beginning to think about summer trips. My husband, AJ, and I love going on trips. And, you know, we tend to be pretty scrappy when we travel. That's just the truth, and you're going to learn about that today. We're pretty scrappy. We love finding a good Airbnb. And, you know, usually when we arrive somewhere, one of the first things that we do is we find the closest grocery store. We go to the grocery store. We talk to the locals. We buy some food for the week. And eventually, we kind of talk it out, and we plan what meals we'll actually go out to eat. Okay, that's just sort of the way we travel. It's the way we've done things. Well, several years back, AJ and I had an opportunity to go on a trip unlike any trip we had ever been on before. Okay, AJ had won an award through his work, and as a result, he and other top performers in the company were invited to go celebrate with an all-paid-for trip to Arizona. And lucky me, he got to bring a plus one, and that's where I come in. I can still remember when we rolled up at this hotel, you guys, and we were wearing our sweatpants, and we quickly realized, oh, like, this place is fancy. Like, it didn't just look fancy. I'm talking, like, it even smelled fancy. Do you know what I mean? Have you ever been to a place like that? You're like, this is not what I'm used to. This is fancy. There I was in my socks and my sandals from on the plane ride, and everyone around us was in formal attire. And we're going, okay, yep, we're in for a trip beyond what we expected. Everything about this place, everything about it was incredible, and it was all 100% paid for. Okay, the meals, experiences, a trip to the Phoenix Zoo, a spa treatment, all of this for free, as in $0. Do you want to know how many times I've been to the spa in my life? That's it. That's the only time. And did I mention how much it cost me? That's right. It was totally free. We had a seriously fantastic time on this trip, especially at dinner time. You know, they gave us these fancy name badges, and just having this name badge, well, it got you access to all the free food. So each of the three nights, it was a three-night-long banquet, we were just floored by how extravagant it all was. Take a look at some of these pictures from our trip. Okay, well, this one's just for fun. Here's me on a camel at the Phoenix Zoo. Okay, that was free, $0 right there. Here you can see we did eventually change out of our sweatpants, so don't be alarmed. We did get out of our sweatpants. And you guys, this is the courtyard where we spent night one of the banquet. Okay, looks pretty great, doesn't it? All of the tables, there were string lights everywhere, stations for all kinds of food. This place was incredible. Now, this photo isn't the exact banquet, but this is the space where we were, and this is sort of what it looked like to give you an idea. I will never forget the first night of this banquet. There we were, right, stations for all kinds of food. AJ wanted steak. There was a station for that. So we stood in line and we just like watched as they made this steak right in front of our eyes. And you know, it's summertime, you know you're walking through the neighborhood when you smell the smoke from the grill and you go, ugh, something smells really good right now. Like that's what was happening. We're watching them make the steak and we're going, oh my goodness, this is gonna be so good. From there, we moved on to the taco station for me. Now, this wasn't like Chipotle, and believe me, I would never knock Chipotle. I love Chipotle, but this was not Chipotle, you guys. This was not about efficiency. They were not in a rush. They were about perfectly crafted tacos. Later on in the night, servers came by with creme brulee. Now, I had never had creme brulee before, and we were pretty full from dinner. But then there they were with the torch, and they're caramelizing the sugar on top, and we're smelling the caramel, and we're looking at each other like, yeah, we're gonna have to have some of that. Like, we were full, but guess what? We found some room. We're gonna be having some creme brulee tonight. You guys, it was three nights of celebrating and feasting, and it was all $0. It was for free. We will always remember this trip. Because we never travel like this, you guys. Remember, we're like grocery store people, even when we travel. This was totally bizarre for us. We will always remember this amazing trip. So why am I sharing this with you today? Well, because today we are going to look at a story in the Bible. It's a parable that Jesus told, and it has everything to do with celebrating and feasting. So with that, if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 14. It begins like this. When one of those at the table with him, you know what? We're going to pause right here. What table? Who is seated? What is going on here? I'm going to take you back for a minute and just explain some of the context of what's happening before we dive in here. What we see earlier in the chapter is that Jesus is gathered with a group of Pharisees. Okay, he's having a meal with them. He's in one of their homes. And the Pharisees, they were the religious people of the day. Nowadays, today, we live in a secular culture. So being religious, it doesn't really help your status, okay? Being religious, it doesn't really elevate you in some way. But back then, they were living in a religious culture. And the Pharisees, they were like elite, okay? They were like the A-list people, highly honored. If you were having a party, you wanted the Pharisees to be there, and you wanted to be invited to a Pharisee's house. It was a high honor. So what we see is Jesus is gathered with a group of Pharisees. He's having a meal. And over the course of the meal, it's becoming apparent just how concerned the Pharisees are with all the wrong things. Okay, they're focused on who is most important and their own status and their own honor. They're worried about where they'll be seated at the table. They were missing it. So Jesus went on to explain to them, when you throw a banquet, don't invite those who you're close to. Don't invite those who are just like you. No, he says, invite those who are not like you. Invite the poor, invite the blind, invite those who cannot repay you. Here's what Jesus says earlier in verse 12. He says, although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Okay, the resurrection of the righteous. We might not all know what that means, but everyone seated at that table knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Okay, Old Testament prophets, they spoke about a time in the future, a time that is coming when those who have died will actually come back to life. They'll be resurrected, and the prophets describe this event to be like a feast. Here's what we read in Isaiah 25:6 about this feast. It says, "On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the very best of meats, and the finest of wines." This future kingdom feast, we can find it all throughout the Bible. Jesus even spoke about this feast at the Last Supper when he gathered with his followers. He spoke about how he longed to gather again with them one day to feast together. AJ and I, we were blown away by our three fancy nights of celebrating and feasting, but that can't hold a candle to what the king's banquet is going to be like. It is going to be the greatest party of all time. And so with that, now that we have a little bit of context, let's go back to verse 15. It says, "When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, 'Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God.'" Okay, so this man, and probably everyone at the table, right, they're Pharisees, they're assuming it's them who will be blessed. It's like, yeah, it'll be the Pharisees at the table, right, Jesus? Like, we're the ones who will be there. And to this, Jesus responds by telling a story. He responds with the parable of the great banquet. In verse 16, Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" Okay, let me ask you, anybody have any parties you're going to this summer? Like, maybe there's some weddings that you're going to, or maybe you had a graduation party you recently went to. There's all kinds of parties that go on. I know at our house, we have a couple of invitations, you know, hanging on our fridge. And I gotta be honest, I know some of them I RSVP'd for, but there's some where I'm not entirely sure. It's like, did I, didn't I? You know, it's like, we kind of wait sometimes to see if we're gonna commit to going. Are we gonna do it? Well, back then, RSVP invitations, it worked differently in ancient times. There were no save the dates. There were no invitations hanging on fridges. No, once an invitation was made, it was basically like an ancient form of RSVP. So Jesus is telling the story. He's making it up. He's telling the story about these people who were invited to a banquet. They RSVP'd. They said they would be there. And then look at what happens next. It says, "But they all alike began to make excuses. The first says, 'I have just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another says, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.'" You guys, this is like every party planner's worst nightmare. Everybody's backing out. The guests can't come. Now, at first, these reasons might seem legitimate, but in fact, they're not legitimate at all. Remember, these three people were invited. They committed. They said they'd be there, and now, like at the last minute, they're bailing. Now, of course, life happens. Sometimes we have to change our plans, but that's not what's happening here. What's happening here is these people made other plans. They found something else that they would rather do than go to the party. So the master had a decision to make. Right, everything is ready, the party is ready, but what is a party with no guests? Let's keep reading. It says, "The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" The master is like, "Fine, if you don't want to come, that's your choice, but I'm going to find people to fill these seats." So the master sends his servant out on a mission to go find people to the streets, to the alleys. It's like, invite any and everybody you can, but the master wants his party to be full. Even after some of the seats are filled, it said there's still room for more, so the servant goes back out to find even more people to come to the party. It's like the servant isn't just broadly announcing there's a party. No, the master told him, go and compel them to come in. meaning he's to go to find people, to seek them out, and to actually convince them to come to the party. And it's interesting to note the people who he was seeking out. He was seeking those who would never expect an invitation. And then we get to the kicker in the last verse, verse 24. Jesus says, "I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Let me ask you, have you ever been at a meal, at a table, where somebody said something, and all of a sudden the feeling at the table just sort of shifted? Like maybe someone said something that it offended you, or it made you question, it made you uncomfortable in some way. I know I've been in situations like this before. Now, I can't know for sure, but I wonder if the feeling started to shift at the table as Jesus came to the end of this parable. Look again. He says, "I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." Ooh, he's sitting with the Pharisees. For the Pharisees, this would have been unsettling. This would have felt personal. It's like, wait, is Jesus talking about us right now? Remember who the Pharisees were. They were the A-list people. They were the religious people. If anyone would be at God's kingdom banquet, surely it was them. So how could Jesus be saying that not one of those invited would be at the banquet? You see, Jesus is coming at the Pharisees in a sharp way here. The Pharisees were first in line for the kingdom of God. The Pharisees were the very first people invited to sit at God's table. And here we see Jesus coming at them to help them see that the invitation to join God at his kingdom table would go so far beyond just the Jewish people. One day, the invitation to join God at his table would extend to all people on the earth. That's how generous God is. You see, the master in the parable is like God. And what we are seeing, what Jesus wants us to see, is this picture of a wildly generous God. God's table, it's not meant for just one group of people. It's certainly not meant for those who have their lives all figured out and together. No, there are going to be all kinds of people at the kingdom table one day. There are going to be people who come to faith in the 11th hour of life. There are going to be people who've spent their lifetime following Jesus. There will be those who are overlooked by society, those who are struggling. They're going to be at the table. He wants everybody. God wants people wearing fuzzy socks and sandals, feeling totally out of place, going, "What? I'm invited to this?" Yes, he wants everybody. You see, Jesus was trying to show the Pharisees that they might be surprised by who is at the table in the kingdom of God, who will be at the kingdom feast. He wants them to see. He wants them to understand that God's table is far bigger, far greater than we could ever imagine. You see, God is so gracious. He wants to pack his kingdom party. He doesn't want for anyone to miss out, but he won't force anyone in. He's just urging us. You don't want to miss this. You don't want to miss what I have prepared for you and what God has prepared for us. It is just beyond what we can imagine. We cannot imagine what God has prepared for us. We try, we do our best, but we cannot imagine it. The book of Revelation talks about it, talks about how the church and Christ are going to come together and be united forever, and it is going to be the greatest moment of all time. Because death is going to be defeated, there will be no more crying or mourning or pain, and God is going to wipe away every tear once and for all. That is what we have to look forward to as Christ followers. That is our hope. There's a reality that there is going to be a kingdom banquet one day. That is going to happen. The question is, who is going to be there? You know, the Pharisees, they thought that they were the ones who would be there. But Jesus seems to be pressing them on this assumption. He seems to be pressing them. So again, who will be at God's kingdom banquet? Well, the answer is simple. It's whoever will say yes to his invitation. Now, we know that not everyone will accept the invitation, but one thing we know for sure is that everybody is invited. That's what Jesus was trying to show the Pharisees in the parable of the great banquet. Everybody is invited to God's feast. Let me just say, when I hear Jesus say that everybody's invited to his feast, of course, that sounds good. I love that. But there's something about it that just, it's hard to believe it. Because we live in a world where that's just not the way things work. You know, the Pharisees, they struggled to see that others were invited, but I wonder if for some of us today, we struggle to believe that we are invited. I mean, just think back for a minute. Think back to your earliest experiences of being left out, of being uninvited, right? It is terrible. It's the worst. I'm pretty sure we all know what it's like to not be invited, right? I'm in my 30s, and I can still feel bummed when I see something going on and I wasn't invited. It's like, oh man, like, I wish I could have been there, right? On earth, everybody is not always invited. On earth, things can feel exclusive. You know, when AJ and I were in Arizona, it was totally exclusive. If you didn't have a name badge, if your name wasn't on the list, there was no steak for you. There was no spa. No, it was exclusive. You couldn't just come in off the street and join. To think that God's kingdom banquet, that God's kingdom is inclusive to all people, it's just hard to wrap our brains around. And to think that it's not just that we made the list, it's not just that, oh, well, yeah, we got invited. No, every single person is sought after by God. Look, I realize that there may be some of you here today. You're here in this room. Some of you, maybe you stayed home today. You are watching online because you are not sure if you have a place here. You are not sure if you are actually invited. It's like you hear it. You hear that everybody's invited, but something about it just doesn't ring true. Look, the church has not always done a great job at this for all kinds of reasons, and that is on us. But if anyone here today is questioning if you are invited and if you have a place here, I want you to hear me say it. You belong here. You are part of the church. We need you. You are invited. For anyone who's felt overlooked or unseen, man, you are going to love the Kingdom Feast because it won't be like that at all. The God of the universe is seeking after each and every one of us individually. He loves you. He loves me. He wants every single person at his table. And the moment that we think somebody else isn't invited, or the moment we think that we aren't invited, we are missing it. You're invited. I'm invited. Everybody's invited. That is what the Kingdom Feast is going to be like. You know, it's interesting to look back in the parable and to think about the people who decided not to come, the people who made excuses. Let's take a second and look back at the reasons that people didn't come to the banquet. Three reasons. The first person says, I've just bought a field, okay? So that's kind of like possessions, material items here. I just bought a field, can't come. Second person, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, okay? That's work, okay? So we've got possessions and work. And then a third one, I just got married, so I can't come. Possessions, work, and relationships. Those are the three things that kept these people from the party. Those are the three things that caused these people to go, you know what, I was planning to be at the party, but actually something else has become more important. I think I'm going to do that now. And instead of planning their lives around the party, they planned their lives apart from it. And in the end, they didn't come to the party at all. This part of the parable always reminds me of a good friend of mine in my life who years ago I had the chance to catch up with. We got together for a meal, and by the end of the meal, it had become clear to my friend that I was still following Jesus. And he seemed sort of nervous, and he said, you know, can I ask you a question? And I was like, sure, of course you can. Like, what's your question? He said, I think I believe in God, but I don't want to live differently right now. I don't want to give up the parties and everything that goes with it. Can I do that? Can I wait to follow Jesus later when it's easier? I remember being floored by my friend's honesty. Honestly, I appreciated him so much for just saying exactly what so many people are probably thinking. You see, my friend was struggling. It's like he wanted to be at all the wild parties here and now, but what he couldn't see is that the party in heaven with God is going to be so much greater than any party we could ever experience here on the earth. Earthly parties come to an end. The kingdom party has no end. It is forever. It is for eternity. So I said to my friend, look, I can't tell you what to do, but if you are sensing God's invitation in your life to follow him today, I wouldn't wait another day. I wonder if there might be some of us here who sense God's invitation in our lives to follow him, but we're still sort of treating it like a save the date on our fridge. We figure we've got time. We can live our lives now. There's always time to decide to follow Jesus later. You know, there's a reality that every single one of us is invited to the kingdom of God. We are invited to the king's table. But we have to make a decision. Are we in? Do we want to link our lives with Jesus? It's true. Deciding to follow Jesus is going to change your life in a lot of ways. That is completely true. No denying that here. When you decide to follow Jesus, it's going to change the way you spend your time, the way you spend your money, the way you care about people, the way you navigate situations, the way you make decisions. It's going to affect your life. But we believe that there is no greater or more exciting invitation than the invitation to do life with God. That's why here at Blackhawk, we are always trying to provide opportunities for you to connect with each other and to connect with God, because we believe that the best possible life is lived by following Jesus together. You know, something that I love about the parable series, and really just the parables, is that there's so many different ways you can read them. You can try new angles and learn something new every time. Now, we've spent time today talking about the master who planned the party. We've talked about the people who missed out on the party, and we've talked about the guests. But there's one other person in the story who we haven't spent as much time with. That person is the servant. Do you remember the servant's role in the story? Just take a look here at how many times servant comes up. Servant, 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 servant. The servant is all over the story. Before we go there, I want to tell you a story. Now, I grew up going to church, not because I wanted to, but because my parents made me go, okay? My parents brought me to church. In fact, I have vivid memories growing up on Sunday morning, laying in bed, pretending to still be asleep. Like, I would just pretend and just hope to hear my parents say, oh, let's just let her sleep. And when that happened, that was like victory, and when it didn't, it was like, okay, I'll try again next week. Gotta work on my pretend sleep here. Well, one Sunday, when I was 12 years old, my parents took me to church. And it seemed like an ordinary day at the time. But looking back, it was not ordinary at all. Because that day, I met a woman named Emily. Emily was a 26-year-old woman, single woman at the time. She was the children's ministry director at our church. And Emily was looking for people to help her to run Vacation Bible School, okay, kind of like a summer camp experience for kids in the church. That day after the service, I met Emily, and she asked me if I wanted to serve with her, and she asked me if I would want to, like, be her right hand that summer. I remember I didn't really know what I was being invited to, but I knew I wanted to say yes. I was just 12 years old. I was looking at her, and she looked like the coolest person on the planet. So I said, yes, I'll serve. What am I doing? And that was just the beginning. I served at Vacation Bible School that summer. And then Emily, she just kept investing in me. She kept investing in me. She kept inviting me to do things. She would pick me up from school at Cromerie Middle School and take me to, like, ice cream. We'd go sit at Starbucks, and I'd drink a hot chocolate. There were days before coffee. It's hard to believe it for me, but we would sit there, and I would drink my hot chocolate, and we would talk about Jesus. She was so interested in me, in my middle school life. She would follow up with me. She came to my event. She ran a 5K with me. We did all kinds of things together. I really cannot overstate the influence that Emily has had on my life. My relationship with Emily changed, completely changed the trajectory of my life today. And looking back, it is easy to see that Emily understood her role in God's story. You see, Emily had accepted God's invitation in her own life, and it had become her top priority that I know that I'm invited to. You see, Emily is like the servant in the parable, right? The master is planning an unbelievable party, and it is the servant who takes the invitation to all people. You guys, that is us in God's story. For any one of us who's placed our faith in Jesus, we have a role to play. We have a central role to play. We are the servants who get to point people everywhere towards an unbelievably gracious God who wants every single one of us at his kingdom table. And one day, you are going to be at the kingdom feast. We're going to show up, no fancy name badge to get in the door, just a simple yes, I believe. Yes, I'm with Jesus. I'm linked to him. Nope, I did not live my life perfectly, but I'm with him. And we're going to get into that party. And when you get there, you are going to see people that you know. You're going to be going, I invited that person. I pursued that person. That's my neighbor. That's my kid's teacher. That's the barista who makes my latte. That's the person from the pickleball courts. That's the person I always see, you know, at the Target self-checkout. You are going to see people you know at the king's banquet one day, and you're going to go, oh my goodness, I see it now because I invited them. There is a reality that for every one of us who has come to the point of saying yes to Jesus, somewhere down the line, somebody invited you to the king's banquet, and we are so thankful for those people in our lives. We are so thankful. And at Black Hawk Church, we want to be a church of servants. We want to be people who are inviting people in. That's why we do events like you heard about. That's why we do movie night. We've been talking about this for a few weeks. We are doing a church movie night in a few weeks, people. We are going to watch Moana, and I could not be more excited. We are going to watch a movie. We are going to eat popcorn. I sure hope there will be milk duds. We are going to have so much fun. And why are we doing this, you might be wondering? Because of passages like the great banquet. Because of the passages in the Bible that show us that we are to be invitational, that we should be bringing people in. So we want to create a space like a movie night where you can invite people in your life to come. People who may have no interest in coming to a Sunday morning service, but they just might come to a movie night. We want to create a space. And someday you're going to see the bigger picture. Someday at the kingdom feast, you are going to see the bigger picture because somebody right now doesn't even know it. But they are going to get an invite to movie night, and that invitation is going to land them at the king's table. It is going to change their eternity. It is going to change their life trajectory. You have a role to play here in God's story. Do you realize that? Like, do you know it? Do you hear it today? You have a role to play. You know, today we talked about people who made excuses for not going to the banquet. But I wonder if there might be some of us today where we're making excuses to just not live like the servant. We think, well, we've got time, we can invite people later, or, you know, I'll invite people when life is less chaotic, when I have more margin, when I know more. I want to push back on that today. Now is the time to be an Emily, to be a servant, to find someone in your world who does not know they're invited and to make them a priority. There is a switch that happens in us. When we move from just saying, yes, I believe, I'm in, I'm going to the king's banquet, when we switch and we go, no, I believe, I'm in, and I want everybody in my world to know that they are invited too. There is a switch that happens. When we move from just planning our lives with kind of having the party in mind, like, yeah, I'm a Christian, when we move to a place of going, no, clear the calendar, mark the calendar, there is a kingdom banquet, and that is the single one event that I cannot miss out on, and I want everybody in my life to come to. We have an opportunity to live like servants, we have an opportunity to join God in his mission and to bring as many people as we can to see life trajectories change, to see our community change. Just imagine how the kingdom banquet table might look differently one day if we can get this right. Let me pray. God, thank you so much for your love, for the fact that you desire for every single one of us to be at your table. It is such an invitation. It is so personal, God. And I pray that for anyone in the room right now who's going, I think I'm invited. I get it. I'm invited. And I haven't said yes, God. I pray that you would meet with them right now. And I pray, Lord, that you would help all of us to catch on to your vision. Help us to catch the vision of what it means to be the servant. Help us to have courage to be invitational and to bring people in to know the love of the Father. God, we are so thankful for you. Thank you. Thank you for the parables. I pray that you would have your way and continue to move in us as we worship. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Are you hurting and broken within, overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. cross as you wait for the crown. Tell the world of the treasure you found.
Invitation. For some of us, we've never said yes to that invitation to just enter in, to come attend this banquet, to say yes to Jesus, and so maybe that's your step today. And for others of us, it's like, how can we more and more play the role of servant who participates with God, inviting people into this great banquet, into not just food and steak and tacos, as wonderful as all of that sounded at Lynn's party, but like Jesus is there, who's going to heal all things and mend all things and make all things new. No more tears or crying or pain. That's the kind of banquet we get to invite people into. Amen? So as we leave today, what's the invitation that God is asking you to say yes to? One way that we can put this into practice right away is that whether it's one of the picnics tonight or next weekend coming back for service and Brader Way on the lawn, that's a great opportunity. Just invite a neighbor or a friend or a family member, say, hey, come sit with me at church, and then we're gonna have, you know, treats and coffee and opportunities to connect with people. It's a great opportunity to invite people into something like that and to share a little bit of your faith story and your church with them. So join us for that next weekend. If anyone wants to be able to pray with us or have us pray for you, there will be a number of people up here afterward. We'd love to do that with you. But let me send us out with these words from Isaiah 25. The author of Revelation, John, picks up on these words later. Lynn was talking about these earlier, but Isaiah says this. It says, on this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove his people's disgrace from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. This is the eternity that we get to look forward to, the great banquet he's invited us into. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week. We'll see you at the picnics this evening and then back here next week for Brader Way on the Lawn.